All right, you guys, welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank Podcast. My name is Ari Shaffir. I'm the host of a podcast known as Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank Podcast with the host Ari Shaffir. It is a full, wintertime, autumn, whatever the fuck it is in New York. I'm going to do a solo podcast, you guys. An all intro podcast. You can tune out now if the fuck you want. It's a short week. It took me too long to fucking edit that Milo podcast. Took me too long to edit the Red Band podcast before. Two of my best podcasts I've ever had. Two in a row. The Red Band one took a while because I was trying to do the video. Get that all edited right. Needed help of a fan. Thank you very much. Dude, I forgot. In Kansas City. And Indianapolis. And then the Milo one. By the way, everyone who reached out and said they were going to help me build the studio, all the architects, all the sound engineers, I am going to take you up on it. Especially the builders. I got to find a place first. That's the first problem. I got to find a studio apartment near me, I guess. It's not in the front, so it'll be a little soundproof, like a back-facing studio apartment. One bedroom? No way. One bedroom. Studio apartment. So I can build my fucking studio. And then I have to get to like a 2-year lease. It's such a fucking process finding real estate in New York. Well, I mean, granted, it will be easier because I won't need one with any windows. I found places before when I was looking, there were like, there's no windows. So the ones like underground, we could just see like a little bit of like footsteps going by. Like those, I guess, would work. So who's the fucking, I got to get a real estate guy. They're all such fucking crooks in this city. I'll have a bit about it on my next special, I think. They're fucking, it's the most crooked. Here's how it works in LA. I don't know how it works in other cities. The only two places I've gotten apartments. In LA, you have Westside Rentals, where it just lists all the apartments available. You pay $60. It lasts for a month or two or 6 months. And if you don't find a place, you get your money back. You can usually get someone else's Westside Rental account if you're poor. Split it with your friends who are looking for one. Or you just drive up and down the streets. And since every apartment building has like a yard, they just post apartment for rent and you call them like, can I come in and look at it right now? And you just go, you just got to have your checkbook on you. In New York, it's a fucking crooked city. It's a union town. So they have these fucking apartment brokers and you have to pay 1.5 times 1 month's rent, around that. So you're talking about $3,000 to $5,000 to a guy just to look at the listings for you. And they're not good. They show you the same listings you've seen 1,000 times. You're like, and then they won't tell you which ones. They're so fucking awful. You tell them which ones you want. You're like, they're like, hey, I got a place on 2nd Street. And you're like, can you tell me the address? I'm like, no, because then you're going to go look at it yourself. Like, I don't even know how to get in there. I'm sure someone's done that to you. The problem is, I don't want to go. I've seen other ones on 2nd Avenue. So can you just tell me if it's, and they're like, which ones have you seen? I'm like, this one? And then I forget. I don't know. Oh, they're the worst. I have a bit about it, so I'm not going to go into the bit. But it does involve violence. So I'm going to find a studio. That's the first step. But I got to be home for a little while, which I am now for a little bit. So maybe I'll start looking. Anyway, the people who said you were going to help me, I will take you up on it. I've seen your messages on Instagram and on Twitter and on my contact at arishafir.com. The ones who wrote me on patreon.com/skeptictank. I've seen them. I'm going to organize them all and fucking get your help. But I got to find a place first to make the studio and soundproof it. Segura, Fat Tom, told me through his heavy breathing that he had problems soundproofing his place, but he had a lot of trucks going by and stuff. He said something like, hurry, trucks are going. Dude, okay. This is totally separate from any sort of dosing situation. Totally separate. I'm not saying this to kiss up to anybody or not. The last time I saw the guys, Joe Rogan, Bert Kreischer, Tom Segura, was October 1st. From what I saw, Bert had lost 20. He said he lost 21 pounds. I believe him. He lies about stuff, but usually for attention, not for support. From what I saw, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. Some of you might know where I'm going with this. Tom Segura weighs more than Bert Kreischer. And Bert Kreischer is over 6 feet tall, and Tom Segura is under 6 feet tall. So that means, total, he weighs quite a lot more than him. He's fatter than him by a lot. But I think he weighs more than him. We talked about who weighs more, and Tom very quickly changed the subject. Look into that. He sidetracked it by pretending to get angry at me about that Molly incident, which, by the way, he was not angry at me when he first heard about it. His first instinct was to laugh hysterically on a podcast you'll never hear. But that was his first instinct. Bird's like, he's going to be mad at you. I'm like, no, he won't. He'll laugh. And who was right? The same guy who's always right. The intelligent one. The Jew. So we're doing this Sober October thing. I mean, it's by far the lamest that we've ever done. It's not difficult. The sobriety part, it's really not. I'm at 22 days in. It's just boring. It's just so boring. I went to 2 Yankee playoff games with no beer, no edibles. It's like that Simpsons line where Homer's like sober for a month and he's like, I never realized how boring this game really is. He's just sitting there. Let me get that clip. Okay, I found it. Homer is at a baseball game. Everybody's drinking except him. He's just sitting there wide-eyed and everybody else at the baseball game is drinking. All right, here it is.
Have you turned on me too? The windup and the 2-2 pitch. Oh, no, sir. Wait a minute. The batter is calling for time. Looks like he's going and getting himself a new bat. And now there's a beach ball on the field. And the ball boys are discussing which one of them's going to go get it.
I never realized how boring this game is.
God damn it. I forgot to press start. That's The Simpsons. That's the clip I was talking about. Anyway. So it's just boring. It's boring. I took golf lessons. What do I always say first? Well, I went to a Chainsmokers concert. I went to a Chainsmokers concert at the Bridgestone Arena, a place that Nate Bargatze is going to play. My prediction, he's going to play that venue before 2025. That is my prediction. You heard it here first on Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank Podcast, episode 371, a short week podcast. Where I talk about, I guess I'm talking about Sober October. The worst Sober October there is. Nate Bargatze is going to play that venue. It's an arena. It's where the Predators play. So he wants to see the fucking Chainsmokers. Sober. Ari Shaffir, who's known as someone who loves fun drugs. I'm not a coke guy. That ain't me. I've done it. You know, if I'm watching a UFC in Edinburgh, it starts at 4 a.m. Yeah, I've done it. You got to stay up. Everyone else is doing it, and I'm not going to not do it. I've done it at fucking music festivals. It's not like I'm into it. People are like, you want some? I'm like, yeah, all right. It's kind of like cigars. If everyone's passing around lighting one, it's like, even if I don't have the itch, I'm like, yeah, I'll do a cigar with you guys. Ari Shaffir, fun drug-loving Ari Shaffir, went to an EDM concert, an electronic dance music concert, sober. Not only not drinking, not doing Molly, Mandy, MDMA, or whatever you want to call it, not doing acid or mushrooms, just fucking enjoying the concert. Granted, with Nate Bargatze, but I've done fucking fun drugs when Nate's been there. He's been annoying. He was drinking. Oh my God, he was so annoying. He's sober now. God damn, he was annoying. By the way, me and Nate got into a discussion about how people get too butthurt about people talking about them on podcasts. And it's like the first like couple years of podcasts, all you would hear in the comedy community is like, so-and-so talked about you. Or you'd see somebody tweet at it. So-and-so talked shit about you. And it would get you angry. We get a lot of people angry. I think I was the first one to realize this. They're like, guys, one, it's almost always overblown. It's almost always taken out of context and overblown. And two, it's like, yeah, they're talking shit. What do you think podcasts are? They're for talking shit. I mean, do you not know what these are? So yeah, if my name comes up, it's not going to be suddenly effusive and fucking having a good time. It's going to be fucking talking shit. So now I'm the subject. You have to be an asshole. You have to be a fucking idiot to go like, nah, they have to stop talking shit and just be nice about me. You talk shit about me too. That's what comedy is, you fucking idiots. Not you who was listening to this. Anyway, so we were at me and Soder were taking drugs, and I think we're going to see LCD Sound System. Might have been Pearl Jam, but I think it was LCD. and Nate's there, drunk as fuck. They had these towers. They had these towers for wine. White wine. You fucking pussy, Nate. So it's like four things in once. The tower all wrapped up with cellophane. And you're supposed to crack them off in these little, like, they're these little balls of wine. Kind of like a juice box, but for adults. Yeah, the adult juice box, white wine. So it doesn't stain your teeth. And so you're supposed to buy that tower. And then, you know, you have either you and a friend, each drink two, pushing it, sure. Or you have three other friends. Nate didn't have any friends. So he just drank four white wines on his own. Got and whatever else he drank, he got shitty. He goes, "You guys are fucking doing your drugs. That's what you're going to do, your drugs." Me and Soda were just like, "Get the fuck away from us. You're so annoying." We had to ditch him. We had to ditch our friend because he's an annoying drunk. Ugh. And then we ditched him and had a great time at LCD Sound System. One of the best concerts I ever saw. Saw Pearl Jam 2 days later or the next day at Bonnaroo that year. And LCD blew Pearl Jam out of the water. I know what you're thinking. You were on fun drugs for LCD Sound System and not Pearl Jam. We were with Jeremy Mockins, who was at both, and he agrees. LCD Sound System, he was on nothing, but he was at both concerts. Sitting in the same spot, he agrees LCD was amazing and Pearl Jam was good. You can say what you want, Joe List, but that's the reality of the situation. On that day, on that night, on that weekend, whatever it is, LCD was the fucking champ. And they fucking converted me. I've seen him twice since then. On drugs for both of them. Anyway. Oh, wait. What was I going to say? Oh, we had to fucking ditch Nate. He's so annoying. I think eventually he went home and passed out in this grass or fucking drove drunk home or something. I don't think he did that. But it was fun being at his house. We played a shitload of golf. Played 2 days of golf. I took some lessons. I got better at golf. So that's what we're doing for Sober October. We're doing lessons. This is so by far the lamest Sober October we've ever done. It is borderline pointless. I mean, it really is. It's just moronic. So the deal was nobody wanted to set a game that they might lose. So everyone just pushed for their own game until we got some fucking nothing thing. All we're doing is taking classes. We have to take 10 classes and read 500 pages. I've already finished. No, I haven't finished 500 pages. No, I think I have finished. But I'm almost done with the second book I'm reading. I think the first one was like 350, 450. Five. Yeah, I think I'm at 500. But I'm going to finish the second book anyway. So we all fucking decided, like, let's just do classes. We'll do 10 classes of any kind. It has to be different classes. It's just so dumb. And those other guys are just like, it's just rich people doing rich guy shit. That's all it is. It's just an excuse for them to fucking show off their richness. It's just so dumb. There's no contest. No one can win. So anyway, we're doing classes. So I took a golf class. I went and took a horseback riding class with my opener in Houston. Reggie Conquest. That was, what was that? $50. That's the most expensive thing I did. $50. Regular guy doing regular shit, joining with me. This ain't lifestyles of the fucking rich and famous. I don't get a new car to keep up with the Joneses, Zagoras. I did a sound bath thing in the city here. $22. I'll do some yoga. I got a fucking rush, actually. I got to fucking catch up and do these 10. It's just so dumb. And the sobriety. So the first year was just going sober. And that was legitimately difficult. And we were doing that just to help Bert Kreischer because he drinks constantly. He gets blackout drunk in front of his family all the time, if you didn't know, if you're wondering. How, in front of his kids? In front of his kids? Yeah. He gets blackout drunk in front of his family. That's fine. That's who he is. But, like, relax. And so we were doing it to try to help him. We're like, can you be sober? We'll be sober with you. Kind of like those kids who shave their heckin' head when one of their friends has cancer, you know? And then the next year, we added hot yoga to it, which is one of Rogan's things. That sucked. That was 15 classes every other day doing a hot yoga class. Just the time commitment to that of having to be somewhere at a fucking specific time to do hot yoga. It wasn't difficult. None of those guys believe me that it was the easiest for me because I'm the only one who's not obese. or has legs like a tree trunk. You should have seen him do the poses too. Fat Tom and Fat Bert, I mean, they were about to die. Joe was like, you have no problem doing the hot yoga? I'm like, no. He goes, in this whatever degree heat. I'm like, yeah. In this humidity. I'm like, yeah, dude, it ain't difficult. And he's like, for real? I'm for sure he thought I was lying. For sure. He thought I wasn't going to him because I didn't have a problem with him. Dude, I came back from fucking Myanmar and Vietnam. It's that temperature and that humidity every day. Try sleeping in that with no air conditioning in your hostel. Fuck, for 90 minutes. 90 minutes is nothing. And then you should have seen where y'all did the poses together. The fat boys was just like, they were just weeble wobbles. And then the fucking Joe with his tree trunk legs trying to get that pose where you stand up and try to get one leg around the other. He got like a quarter of the way around. And I'm like, yeah, that's why you can't do the poses, you fucking fat-thighed bitch. Be a normal size. I'm a Ken doll and you're a fucking Mr. Potato Head. Yeah, I'm doing it right now. It's easy. I haven't done that shit in, but you just wheel your, don't have fucking legs the size of a fucking body. I mean, I guess it's better for kicking things, but I don't have to kick things in my life. Anyway, granted, I do break a lot of bones doing casual activities. Fair enough. Fair enough. Logic. Fair enough. You got me again. Anyway, so that was difficult. The hot yoga. It was fucking annoying. The next year, we upped it. And we got this idea. Tom got it. Actually, an intelligent idea from a fucking Florida trash person. I think that was his Spanish side. That's what I think it was. His Spanish side actually had a good idea and overwhelmed his fucking Florida trash side. No, I'm trying not to say trash anymore. Milo was right. Milo was right. I can be more creative than that when I'm shitting on people. I can be more creative than that. Tom is not Florida trash. Tom is swamp educated. That's what he is. He's swamp educated. So anyway, swamp education was overwhelmed by his Spaniard roots, and he came up with a good idea where we wear some strap around our sternum and we measure our heart rate. I obviously quickly figured out the tools to trick it as best I can, and I committed to it, and I came in second. Would have come in first if we had any sort of like testing that the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball has, but we don't have that for our group. So I came in second, but that was great. Definitely Fat Bert lost. Fat Tom came in second because it's hardest for them. And by the way, if you didn't know, me and Bert one time went on a hike together, put on a strap at the same exact time. He got something like 40 more points than me. I got like 110. He got like 150. So the same amount of work that I do that he does, he gets rewarded for it more. And I still crushed him. And that was difficult. We all went real hard. And then this year, Joe was like, well, I don't have time this year to do that. But I was like, why? How has your chess schedule changed at all in the last year? Would you suddenly book a TV show? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? For real. Your schedule is exactly the same. And Tom, too. He's like, well, I don't want to do this. Like, what have you done different? You're not even working on your fucking sitcom anymore. Unless he is. Did that thing get picked up? That Fox thing? You guys told me I was going to be able to do the snap, like scene one, take one. You told me that both of you told me that I'd be the one to do that. And if you guys have moved ahead and have broken your promise yet again, I will be quite upset. I'm hoping for your sake that it's not that, that instead you've just lost millions of dollars and your show didn't get picked up. Where was I? Where did I leave off? Oh, yeah. So there's no extra work. This is the exact same schedule you guys had. But the deal is, I think everybody's wives did not want them to do all this fucking hard work again. And neither did mine. But I'm the fucking master of my own domain, so I make my rules for myself. So we didn't decide to do that. And instead, I suggested, what about a reading challenge? I said, what about let's go offline, least amount of time online. And I'll even go one step further. And go off my phone. I get it. I've got the advantage there. I use a flip phone. So if you guys got to use a flip phone, that's not fair. I'll go no phone. I'll just go house phone. As a handicap. No, they don't want to do that. Bert can't promote it that well. Sure. Fine. So instead, they chose to like do a bunch of rich people fucking classes doing rich people shit. Spearfishing, fucking going, I don't know, man. It's shit that none of you at home could afford. Let's leave it at that. Way to be relatable, everybody. And then, so there's no way you can win or lose. It's just do 10 classes and read 500 pages. So there's no winning or losing. It's just such a fucking dumb setup. Why are we even doing it? And then I also suggested a great idea that a lot of you are doing is instead of Sober October, because it didn't help, the original plan was to do it to help our fucking friend who's dying, right? Of alcoholism. But that didn't help him. So October he takes off. By not November, he hasn't doubled up in November. By late December, it's as if he had never done October. The amount of drinking he's done to make up for lost time, it was equaled out. About a month and three quarters. He's back to where there's no difference. And that happens every year. So there's no reason. I mean, I was with him when he broke the one once. We did it in New Orleans. We broke the sobriety fast together. And, well, actually, I threw up that night. I think it was with the pizza, but it's probably from the drinking, too. So it doesn't help. So I suggested, let's do So Bombed October. Let's just go fucking nuts. No, they didn't want to do that. They just wrote it off without even thinking about it. Anyway, the people at home who are participating are having a lot more fun than I am, because you didn't go to a fucking electronic dance music concert. By the way, Chainsmokers, I mean, I get it, but it's a lot of other people's music. You know? It ain't like, you can't really do that in comedy. I was with Nate. Nate's a purist about it. He hates music. I mean, he likes music, but he just thinks it's way easier than comedy. And you're just going into like some other guy's song. You can't, and they're speeded up, or they fuck, and everyone's like, you played a Bieber song to close. Like, you can't do that in comedy. Like, even if everyone knows what you're doing, you know, not stealing. But even if everyone knows what you're doing, like the fucking street jokes, like fucking what's her name did on that special. And she was like, people are like, it's stolen from Patrice. It's like, no, it's not. It's just street jokes. Like, yeah, you did street jokes in your HBO special. Jesus Christ. I can't imagine blowing an opportunity creatively more than that. Oh, really? It's 10 minutes of my fucking HBO special back when HBO mattered, back when that was the number one thing. You're wasting that with stuff that's not yours? I get not stolen, but not yours? So that's what this fucking Chainsmoker shit was. And it was like, fun. I don't know. Maybe I would have had a better time on Molly. I mean, for sure I would have. So we're doing classes. So it's all a big fucking tie. And then we're doing this Whoop thing. Like, Whoop is sponsoring Sober October. I don't even really get it, you guys. I mean, there's a lot to it. It reads all your shit, right? So it's, you wear it around your wrist and it tells you, like, it's got software that helps like athletes and high performance people like improve their recovery and their training and their sleep. But like, I don't work out. It's only reading my sleep pretty much. It shows me what my recovery is, but I don't even know what recovery means. If you do work out, if it's something that you actually do, because aren't you supposed to work out like one day and then take the next day off to let your muscles recover? I've heard that before. So if that is you, then whoop.com is the place to go. If you use the code SOBEROCTOBER, you get 15% off your order. Get the Whoop Strap 3.0 free when you join. Oh, what? How do you get the fucking strap free? And then what's your order? Oh, the strap. I get it. It's not the thing. It's just a strap. So I'm wearing it all day, every day, to understand the impact of sobriety has on my body. I don't know. The problem is I would have had to wear it. So I'm going to have to wear it next month as well to see what it changes in my body, because I put it on October 1st. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to wear it all month, and then I'll wear it like the first 2 weeks, let's say, of the next month, and I'll see how my sleep gets worse. That's the only thing I can really measure that I know is my sleep. Because, dude, it will show you. I'll be honest. Forget the fucking recovery. I don't know any of that. If you work out, you know about that shit. I don't know about that shit. But my sleep, it doesn't tell you when you go to sleep, when you wake up. It tells you what kind of sleep you actually get. And dude, Bert and Joe don't really get sleep. It's bad. Bert's the worst one. I mean, I'm looking at his numbers right now. This is the first few days. Bert, 542. 0, 521, 422, 412, 604, 627, 621, 607, 527, 4 hours and 4 minutes, 4 hours and 1 minute, 4 hours and 45 minutes, and then finally, 7 hours and 41 minutes. He's not getting any sleep. He was rest. I mean, he's having withdrawal symptoms, I guess. He's not talking about it, but he's having withdrawal symptoms. Oh, or maybe it's still because of the fucking half dose of Molly he got fucking a week before Sober October. Yeah, maybe it's that, you guys. Here's mine. Zero, because I put it on the first day. 5:35, not good. 6:45, 5:35, again, not good. 8:04, 4:30, but then I took a two-hour nap. I didn't read that. 6:18, 8:15, 5:06, 7:07, 3:27, but again, I took a four-hour nap later. Why didn't I read that? 6:23, 6:19, 8:24, and then I still got to catch up for the rest. Tom gets sleep. 8 hours, 6 hours, 6 hours, 6 hours, 6 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours, 5 hours, seven, seven, six, six, seven, seven. Tom gets sleep. Tom gets sleep. How many of those guys have sleep apnea? Is it all of them? I love how all they do, by the way, is think about how they're going to work out to lose weight. And none of them think, well, Ari, you've been fat before and you're not anymore. So you clearly fall into the same problems we have. What are you doing right? I don't eat like a fucking animal, you idiots. I don't eat like I'm fucking dying tomorrow. Like the fucking Martians are about to attack and we got to fucking just go for it tonight. I get high. I binge. And then I eat a fucking salad. Dude, I've been with Bert in Montreal and he was trying to eat healthy at Expectations. And the way he eats healthy is he orders a fruit salad plate in addition to the full French toast plate he also gets. He eats like a fucking autistic child who's grown up. He eats like, what's that guy's name who just died? Any motorcycle, don't you want me? Daniel Johnston. Speeding motorcycle. Yeah, he's like Daniel Johnston. Daniel Johnston, he spent all his money. They had to like have caretakers for him. He spent all his money on comic books and Mountain Dew. He died in his 50s recently in Katy, Texas. That's how Bert eats, just normally. I don't know how Tom eats, but it ain't right. You don't get that body from eating right. It's not like I even eat great, you guys. I just don't eat like a fucking asshole. I'll have a salad for lunch 4 days a week. And I try. I don't always. And then it goes up a little and I get it back down. I'll buy a salad 5 days a week for lunch for a little while till it's back down. Or one helping instead of the four that those guys eat. I mean, they're disgusting. And they keep looking at how are they going to work out? What system can they... This reminds me of me in high school when I was like... I was a terrible student in grade school and high school. Terrible. And instead of just studying, I would come up with all these plans for like how I could be better at organizing. I would buy organizational tools and I would buy a planner and I would say like, I'm going to write all my homework in here and I'm going to buy... And it's like, dude, just study. Just do the homework. You're spending all your time wrapping your books with fucking binding and book wrapping and getting all these day planners and you're not just reading the fucking homework assignment. So whoop.com is good, but Bert, Tom, eat normal, you fucking fat fucks. Joe is obese, by the way, BMI. He's the only outlier because BMI doesn't work when you take into account massive amounts of muscle, which Joe has. It's obvious. I make fun of him that he's still obese. He's an outlier because of that. Most people, when they're like, BMI doesn't work because it doesn't take into account muscle, it's like, that ain't your problem. Your problem is not too muscular. Joe's is. But he just posted a video of how much weight he's lost. If he loses 3 more pounds, he's no longer obese. Even with his fucking giant fucking small body. He'll be no longer obese if he loses 3 more pounds off his Twitter post, off his Instagram post from last week. Those guys are just obese. So it's like, whoop.com is great. It'll be great. It'll help a lot of people. But eat right, you guys. Whoop works for the best from the NFL to the Navy SEALs, but the insights apply to all of us. See how our body responds to stresses, good and bad, and then adjust to live better. Oh, yeah. I wonder what happens if you get an NFL player. like, it does read your activities, Whoop. So when I went to play golf with Nate, it was like, you've been golfing. And I was like, yeah. Oh, my God. You're right. I have been golfing. It just read it. It knows exactly what you're doing. I wonder if in the NFL players, it's like, you've been beating your wife, haven't you? And they're like, that's right. They're like, well, you burned a lot of calories. Recovery's going well. Not sure how it's going for her, but... oh, the NFL. That's lovely how you're still around. Anyway, so we're doing this fucking Sober October thing. It's almost done. What are we in, the 22nd, 23rd right now? It's so goddamn boring. It's just stupid. None of us are learning anything anymore. It's just an excuse for really for Bert to fucking promote himself and to claim victimhood for fucking doing barely anything wrong. I mean, there's cool people who listen to me, who understand how little I've done. Me and my friend were about to get blackout drunk around his family, and instead I switched it up. Ooh. Big whoop. Get the fuck out of here. When Diaz fucking dosed his dad, nobody said a goddamn word. It was funny as shit. It's because he plays the fucking victim, and you all know it. Deep in your hearts, you all fucking know it. Get the fuck out of here. Half a dose of Molly, which, by the way, I took his other half and a full one. But to be honest, though, I guess in fairness, I am known as the number one party animal in the world. That is what people say about me, right? That I am the number one party animal in the world. So, of course, I can take twice as much as my friends. Wait, no, that's not me. That's someone who is known as the number one party animal in the world. Yeah. That's like when who's the old guy? The old Jew? He's almost dead from oldness. Howard Stern. When Howard Stern says he's the king of all media, I'm like, what all media? Radio. That's the only media. I guess you had a number one selling book and a did decent for a minute movie, but like, I was the king of all media. King of one media. So was it just alcohol? That's what makes you the number one party animal in the world? Just alcohol? Yeah. Okay. I guess I should rethink what I would think of as a party animal. Shots fired. And people are like, well, you wouldn't do it to Joe. You wouldn't do it to Tom. Like, no. One, I was planning on doing it to Joe and Tom. If we do that podcast on September 30th, I was planning, not Molly, but I was planning on putting acid in their drinks. I assumed we were going to have drinks. So I was going to do acid. Because honestly, I can't think of a better place to do it than in Joe's compound. Acid in Joe's compound? Wow, what a fun time. But people are like, you wouldn't do it to them. And no, I wouldn't do it to them. I wouldn't give them Molly. You know why? Because they're fucking lame. That's why I would do it to Bert, you fucking idiots. He's fun. You know what else I wouldn't do with Joe and Tom? Invite them skiing with me. But I would invite fucking Bert because he's a fun guy. He's one of the funnest guys on the planet. Literally, of all my friends that have children. Renazisi, he does some stuff. No, Renazisi does some stuff, but he's not as fun. He is not as fun as Bert. Of all my friends with kids, Bert is the funnest guy. So if your legit question is, why would you want to do Molly with the number one party animal in the world, who's the funnest, one of the funnest friends you have, children or no children, if that's really your question, I think you would know the answer if you're willing to look at it a little bit. Why would you want to do a non-harmful drug that's super fun with one of the best, funnest friends that you have? And who, someone who cares more about great content. Why would you do that to him on a podcast, giving him the number one podcast of the year that no one will ever hear, by the way? Why would I do all that? When you were about to go get blackout drunk with your friend at his fucking family's house? But instead you should... Why would I do... I mean, are you guys kidding me? With this fucking bullshit. Oh, he had to leave his house. He was going to leave his house anyway. Go listen to that fucking Robert Kelly podcast he did before. You know, he's fucking admits it. I was going to go fucking hang out at the Comedy Store for an hour and a half before my flight. Guys, it's all right. That's what comics do. We spin stories for effect. That's what we do. We spin stories for effect. If you're not figuring it out by now, it's mostly true. But on podcasts and stuff, we'll take an angle that makes us seem more victimized. Legitimately, how much do you really think I care about being sober for a month? I don't care for it at all. It's quite annoying. But not so annoying that I'm this enraged. I lean into it. That's what my friends do. We lean into our fucking pain. I get it. I made a huge mistake doing it where his wife was. She ain't happy with me at all. I mean, not at all. That's my biggest problem, is I fucking brought some fucking unrest to his family. That's it. Anger to the household. But the idea, first of all, you can fly on Molly. Do you know what Molly is? Do you know what MDMA is? It's one of the safest, funnest drugs there are. If you haven't done it, fucking do it. Oh, whatever. But also, by the way, Mark Norman was supposed to be there. And I had a third dose. The idea that I wouldn't do it to anybody else, Mark Norman was coming. And I wanted to get it done. So Mark Norman, I already told him. He was going to get got. I told him later, too. He was like, did I miss anything? And I told him, he's like, you're lying. That's so awesome. You're lying. You made that up to make me feel jealous. I'm like, no, man. I didn't make it up. I mean, I made up doing it, but it was because it was fucking rad. And he was so jealous he missed it. No concern. Fucking a half to maybe two-thirds of a dose. And I took the rest, by the way. I took the rest. What the fuck are you talking about? I took twice as much as him. Get the fuck out of here. You had a flight that day. Ew, a flight 8.5 hours after you took some Molly? Ew, whatever would you do? You fucking nerds. You're all fucking nerds. Don't do it to people, obviously. You see the reaction. They get too fucking nuts. Sloss fucking dosed Kai Humphreys on Molly, and everyone had a good fucking time. Bert's best friend, Kai Humphreys. It's all fun and games. And so, I need an excuse. I need an excuse for why I'm ignoring my family. It can't possibly be fucking years of lifestyle choice. It has to just be one thing, which, by the way, he had a great time. He won't release that podcast because he knows goddamn well that'll prove what a fucking wonderful time he had. Get the fuck out of here. And if you took the fucking 5-HTP. So listen, anyone taking Molly, if you've ever wanted to do it, let me just walk you through it really quick. It's amazing. It's super fun. You want to hydrate, as I told him. You want to drink water. This is not ecstasy. This is pure MDMA. I get the good shit. Okay, guys, for real. All joking aside. Let me tell you, Molly. Let me tell you the effects it has. You should, this is, for, you know, as I said, you lean into stuff for effect. But I'm going to tell you how to do stuff safely. One, do not dose your friends. It's wrong. You can see the fucking, you know, damage it causes sometimes. You got to be real careful, more careful than me, before you dose your friends. But that 5-HTP is important. One time I was taking, I took Molly at that LCD Sound System concert with Michelle Wolf. She got real depressed the next couple days afterwards because I forgot to give her. It's like I know better and then I don't think things out. So you want the 5-HTP. It's a mood stabilizer. So I took it with her, soda, mushrooms mostly, and her other buddy, whose wife doesn't know he came. And she is not known as the number one party animal in the world. I forgot to give her the 5-HTP, and she got depressed for a couple days afterwards. That is that effect. You want to take that 5-HTP. It's really important. It's a mood stabilizer. More recently, I took some MDMA with Big J. Okerson, also not known as the number one party animal in the world. He did take 5-HTP. Then later that night, took another one. The next day, took two more. And then he goes, dude, my mood is stable as fuck. So for sure you want to take that. Know your source from the MDMA because it could be laced with speed, in which case it's not MDMA. It is ecstasy. Ecstasy is sort of a different thing. It has MDMA in it, Molly, Mandy, whatever you want to say. But when it's ecstasy, it's got speed in it, which makes you like real dancey. Get you real sweaty. That I would not say to do as much. Although, you know, when it's there, and it's the right environment. At a fucking dance sex club I went to in Berlin. Ecstasy's there for sure. You know, time and place. But I would not give that to anybody because that is I don't know. It's a little more dangerous. It's bad for your heart. So you know, do it responsibly. Think about what you're doing and make sure to take that 5-HTP. And I fucked up with Bert. I fucked up by not bringing it with me. Should have had everything ready. And that was a pretty big mistake. I forget about that 5-HTP sometimes. You can get it over the counter at, not over the counter, at on the shelf at CVS or whatever. Most of those places, definitely GNC. And you want to get that. I'm not joking. That's the only problem with Molly is the next day, a couple days of depression, a day or two. So that will alleviate that. 5-HTP. I told Bert, but he wasn't going to listen to me. Stop at GNC or even Ralph's or a supermarket where they have, you know, the section for all the you know, supplements and like where they have the fish oil and stuff like that. And ask them, like, do you have 5-HTP? If they might not at CVS type places, then go to the next one. But you just take one of those pills and then one the next day, and that'll stable out your mood. Because the one negative from Molly is that the next day, a lot of times, people get depression. It's not long-lasting. It's like 2 days or maybe three. It can get bad. So you want to definitely take the 5-HTP. Mistake on my part. Should have had it there for Bert that time. So I should have just given it to him right then. But I told him to take it. I told him to stop and get some. But I don't think he was in a very trusting mood after that. By the way, every single person who ever heard about that laughed hysterically. Don't do it. It's a bad idea. Don't dose anybody. Obviously, you've seen the negative effects of this, but I'll stand by how hilarious it was. So take some 5-HTP, drink some water, and just learn how to love people. It doesn't put you out of the realm of like handling reality. So like if you take a heavy pot edible, you can't hear straight. You can't think straight. You start getting paranoid. You think things are like bad. You're totally fine to be around anybody on Molly. The only person you don't want to be around on Molly is an enemy that you don't want to forgive, because you will forgive them. Pure MDMA just makes you love things. It makes you feel this like amazing love. You should have heard how we were talking about the people in our lives. It was an amazing time. You'll never hear it, but like, it was such a fucking good time. It was like a week before. No, I took some with Diaz like a couple days later on September 30th. It was ecstasy I took with that, with some speed in it. That has speed in it. I got from Luis Gomez. Oh no, it wasn't from him, but it was a skank fest that I got it. Anyway, it fills you with love. But you're totally there, like reality wise. So you're not going to like lose that. So on mushrooms, you kind of lose reality. Mushrooms, you don't really lose reality either. But like it's closer to like a heavy pot edible or even smoking weed where you're like, can't concentrate. You're totally there on Molly. You're totally there. Your feelings are real. There's no like out of reality. So you can like, if somebody's like, hey, help me move this table, you can just help them move. You're just going to tell them how cool they are while you're doing it. So there's no danger to be around. I wouldn't say to take care of your kids on mushrooms. If you're going to take like a cap and a stem, you know, where it just makes everything a little lighter, then sure. I would say it's okay to be around, you know, your kids on like a little bit of mushrooms or like, you know, a couple beers. Or a couple glasses of scotch, you know, then sure, you can be around your kids. But not like I would never say be around your kids on like a lot of alcohol. That seems irresponsible to me. But, you know, it's your kids. I'd say abort them all. Round them up and abort them all. But like, you know, if you're going to have them. Yeah, that's not one of those drugs that's a problem. Cocaine, that makes you angry. Yeah, that lash out. That's maybe the worst drug to be around. Or hair, you know, the majors, the heroin and the meth and shit like that. I wonder if speed, just straight, or ketamine, you probably wouldn't want to be around your kids. That'll put you out. That'll make you like unable to like care for anybody or take care of anybody. You're no good on ketamine. But you can go to work, like you can go to your day job on MDMA. For real. Like, you could go to your accounting firm and you'd be fine on MDMA. It won't do anything to you. No one will even know that you're fucked up, to be honest. Unless you tell them. But guys, I've done stuff in my storytelling show before, my specials. I forget where it was. If you're fucked up on a pot edible, just don't tell anybody. If you're on mushrooms, do not tell anybody you're on mushrooms. They won't know until you tell them. And then once you tell them, they definitely will know. That's the worst thing to do. I know that's your instinct. Like, sorry, I'm fucked up. I'm high. You want to say that's a rookie mistake when you're high, to tell people that you're high. It's such a fucking rookie move. But I did it too. Like, you're talking, you're like, they must know. They must know that I'm weird. So you're like, hey, I'm sorry, I'm high. And then always their response is like, oh, I didn't realize. But then once you've told them, then they're looking into everything you do, and they're putting it under this, I don't know, magnifying glass. Anyway, whatever. The point is, my friends are fucking pussies. So this Sober October, we're just doing classes. I don't know. The horseback riding class was cool in Houston. Me and Reggie, it was cool. I hadn't ridden a horse since I was like in like third grade. It was cool being up there again. The sound bath class. I gotta do a hell of yoga. I think I found a location for my special. I believe I did. And it's going to be in February, I believe. Hopefully by next week. I'm doing a podcast about steroids. This guy, Mike Cannon, used to take them a lot. So tune in for that. That'll be a video podcast that I did at Gas Digital. And hopefully I'll be able to announce then when my special is. And then I'm going to go on Rogan's November 12th. We're going to do hella drugs. Not MDMA. What are we going to do? Well, weed for sure. We got to figure out something else out to do. What are the drugs should Rogan do? Maybe some mushrooms. Rogan's a fucking warrior with mushrooms for sure. And acid, right? He told me he took acid recently for the first time. It could have been a couple years ago. And he was like, I liked it. Wonder what else we could do drug-wise. He ain't going to do ketamine. I've only done it once. Twice. Maybe Rogan and I will do heroin. Intravenous heroin. Can you imagine if Joe Rogan did heroin? Or maybe, you know what I used to say? Is I want to do heroin once, but just on the road. And that way I won't be able to find a dealer. You know, if I do it in Kansas City, I'm never going to be able to go back there to find a dealer to do more heroin. So it'll be easy. And then I realized, dude, you live in New York. Before that, you lived in LA. You can find heroin. If I wanted to, it's inside a week, I could have heroin in my hand. Like, no question. If I worked at it, you know. I'm going to be in San Jose. I forgot to tell you my dates. San Jose, November 7th through the 9th. Did I tell you my dates? Chicago, November 16th at the Vic Theater. I feel like I told you my dates. Anyway, go to arishafir.com for tickets. arishafir.com/tour if you're on your mobile phone. Go right to the source. I got to redesign my fucking website. Coming soon. This has been a fucking boring podcast, I think. Right? I don't know. I'm putting it out. It's a short one. It's just a short week, so I'm going to put it out tomorrow, I guess, Wednesday. I'll give a shout out to an Instagram account I think you guys should follow. It's Kids Getting Hurt. It's fucking hilarious. All it is kids getting hurt. Videos mostly. It's all it is. Kids getting hurt. Look, obviously I don't like children. I don't know much about them, but I like laughing at their pain. So follow Kids Getting Hurt. I have no allegiance to them. I have no tie to them, but for sure do that. What the fuck is this? Oh. That's it, you guys. I guess we're fucking done. It was a good short podcast. I got nothing else to say. The Chainsmokers. Talked about golfing with Nate. What a fucking great time. What a great life he has. Shows in Nashville were great. What a cool city, Nashville. Dude, shout out to fucking, what was that hot chicken place? It was right across from Hattie B's. Across from it. Bolton's. Black Run and it looks like it's black run. It's a point where like, oh, can I get some of those vegetables? And they're like, collards? I'm like, yeah. They try to talk you out of the spicy. I like the spicy. It fucking hurt. But I like it to hurt. Interestingly, my next shit after that, no blood for the first time in a long time. No blood. The four shits after that, quite a lot of blood. Bolton's, the hot chicken. Don't test yourself, though. Get mild. They will try to talk you out of the hot, and they're right to, because you probably won't enjoy it. I'm a little better at spicy than most people. My dad's Israeli. He always like made his own spice. I'm better at it than most people. And I've been talked out to the point where I'm like, no, I'm not enjoying it because it's not spicy enough. Don't try to hurt yourself. That's not fun. Get the medium. If you want to try some spicy stuff. If you're legit into majorly spicy stuff, as I am, that hot was good, but it was tasty too. And after you eat that first piece of chicken, I got the boneless chicken tenders. After you ate that first piece, you couldn't feel anything anymore, and it was just the taste. It didn't hurt you anymore. I loved it. Bolton's. It's right across from Hattie B's. Like right across. It's not going to be that much longer too, because I think some fucking corporation bought out that whole block. So get there quick. Get there quick, man. But that's it, you guys. Thank you very much for tuning in. Next week, video podcast. Mike Cannon will be on about roids, roid rage, episode 372. If you want to make your podcast now, if you want to make the Photoshop, get it ready. I'll fucking tweet it. Also, by the way, if you ever want to make a Photoshop that I use, I've had random ones sent to me for my dates. I still throw you like $25. You know, if it's good enough for me to use, if I'm using something you make, I'm going to throw you $25 just for like, thanks, you know, go get some dinner or something. But that's it. Ari Shaffir, Scatter Tank, episode 371. I guess fucking so over. I'm calling it So Over October. Yeah, I'm calling it So Over October. I mean, that's going to piss somebody off. I should not call it that, right? What are the pros and cons of me calling this podcast So Over October? The problem is I like mayhem. If you listen to my Milo podcast last week, you'll know I enjoy mayhem. I enjoy it. And you might say, well, Milo's really right wing. Yeah, maybe. And I'm left wing. But the point is we both like mayhem. We both have our predispositions to stuff. But mayhem's what we really like. Oh, so over. I mean, would that get me in trouble? I'm trying not to get in trouble. But at the same time, I don't want to edit myself for what I think is funniest, just because I may or may not get me in trouble. I think the shadow ban on Instagram is almost lifted, and then I want to pick a picture of my dump, you know? I want to do that. And the repercussion for that should be losing followers. The repercussion shouldn't be they won't let anyone see your stuff. To try to like force you to comply with their version of what creativity should be. So, yeah, I don't know. It shouldn't bother anybody. What am I really doing? Hell hath no scorn like a woman's... No, wait. No wrath like a woman's scorn. I'm so bored. October 22nd. I want to drink now. I want to smoke a J. We got 9 more days. 9 more days. 9 more days and 2 hours. I mean, I can do it. It's not even difficult. It's just so dumb and boring. What we've taken on is dumb and boring. Really, it is. I've got more reading done. I forced myself to read this fucking mystery book that me and Adrian are going to do for our book club. But it's just lame. I can't believe 4 funny comics couldn't get a better fucking game together. You guys, you all 3 of you, you know, we fucked up. This was a fucking boring ass sober October. It really was. It was just fucking dumb. You know? So anyway, I mean, I'm glad they're doing, Bert and Tom are doing the 2 Bears, 1 Cave. That's good, but that's really got nothing to do with sober October. That's just, they should be doing that anyway. Anyway, you guys, that's it for me. That's the episode. Should I even name this an episode number, or should I just, yeah, I will, 371. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 371, So Over October. with me, Ari Shaffir, over and out. What drugs are you looking forward to if you've done it? And if you have done the So Bombed October, first of all, I commend you for making smart decisions. What's your point total up to? What's your point? I'm so jealous of you. What's your point total up to? People ask me too, why didn't you put edibles on the air? Because edibles, here's the reason. Edibles can take you from zero to 100. You don't know. You could take a heavy dose of edibles and not get hit at all. You can't drink three glasses of scotch and not feel it. Oh, I want some scotch. A colile. No, you can't. But edibles do that. And you might take 5 grams of edibles and be bombed. So I took it out of the running completely. Same thing for something else, too. There was something else in there that people are like, fuck it, why isn't that in there? Dabs. Fuck off, dabs. I don't want to bring your fucking... First of all, you're going to start a fire. Second of all, don't be lame. Light up a joint like a regular human. Don't bring a goddamn torch out in public. Dabs. They're fine. Go nuts. But that does mean you'd smoke so much that your tolerance... It's like talking to a porn star about, like, making love. They're like, how much squirting went on? You can't have regular conversation with those dab people about weed. I get it. You have a bigger tolerance. You're bigger potheads. But, like, you're not normal anymore. Dabs. Anyway, I hope you're enjoying So Bombed October. Next year, I gotta think that's what we should do. Unless you have a legit real game of being sober. Because this is dumb. It's just dumb. Most of you feel it, right? You're like, there's no contest. There's no winning. So what are we even doing here? Who will win Sober October? No one, because no one can win or lose. I mean, I guess you could not do this stuff and lose. Anyway, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 371, so over October, and I am. I'm just done with it. It's just so stupid, and I'm over it. Goodbye. That's how it starts.